Proverbs chapter 1, and promote with others that next Wednesday night we'll enjoy hearing Brother Ethan Abbott preach, and he and his wife sing up songs for us, and I'm looking forward to them coming. I mentioned last service that Diana had sent us a card thanking us for the help we sent and the prayers and everything, friendship over the years, and I guess it was that, and seeing that Nathan was in the area, I dreamed about them, and it was a strange dream. Now, we've looked at the word proverb is derived from a Hebrew word that means to rule or to govern. And it's used in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 18 about the sun ruling the day and the moon ruling the night. It's used in chapter 3 and verse 16 of Genesis about God placed Adam to rule over Eve because she was first to sin in the temptation. And this word is used as Proverbs, where we know that the primary theme of these early chapters of Proverbs is to teach us wisdom, how to gain wisdom. And wisdom means more skill than it does knowledge. We learn the knowledge of the Word of God, and we pray and ask God for wisdom to apply it in the right way. God can help us acquire and apply His wisdom to our decisions and our activities in everyday life. And we need them because we make lots of decisions. Sometimes we just make snap decisions on what we want, and then later we figure out, boy, that was not a good move. And I have done that numerous times. And we need to pray. We need to ask God when we make plans and decisions, and ask for God to intervene. All the kings and rulers of the earth have counselors and wise men to advise them, to interpret languages for them, and to warn them about things that maybe they do not know about. Men of learning, men of education, young men who they would train to be over these positions as counselors. Such was the case with Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Chaldean language. And Daniel and these three Hebrew friends were being trained in the realm of the wise men. We know it was wise men from the east who came when Jesus was born. Joseph was a man like this to Pharaoh. God allowed Joseph to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and give him advice on a plan on how to handle what these dreams represented, that there would be 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, and they would be followed by 7 years of famine. And the famine would be so severe that it would eat up all of the plenty. And so Joseph suggested to Pharaoh to put somebody over and collect and store up grains and things during the years of plenty to be prepared for during the years of famine. And Pharaoh said, "Who is wiser than Joseph to put over this?" And he gave him his ring from his finger, and he made him second only to Pharaoh as a ruler in the land. And not only did he store up and provide for Egypt to survive the great famine, but Israel was able to come and live in the land of Goshen, being 70 souls, Joseph's people. And so he saved two nations. He saved Israel and Egypt, and gave Egypt the opportunity to buy up the lands around them because people needed food so bad they even sold their lands, which was rare for men to do. So they had this wisdom, they had this knowledge, they had these understanding, they had skills, and they were wise men that advised the kings. And we who make decisions need counselors, and one of our great counselors is the Word of God and the wisdom that God can give unto us so that we make the right decisions. Christian brethren, are counselors to us. We run things by other Christians that we trust and believe who have wisdom, so that we don't make a misstep and step into a trap. Ephesians 5:15 tells us that we should walk circumspectly, and that means carefully. We have to walk carefully because there are many dangers where we're walking. In the summertime in the South, if you walk in the high grass, you could stir a snake out of his resting place, sunning himself. A copperhead is a snake that's poisonous, and if you crowd him too much, he will fight back. And in some parts of the South, there are rattlesnakes. And even if a rattlesnake doesn't bite you, he'd scare you to death. I remember the preacher from Fort Mill that became a pastor of a large church out at Bellevue. Adrian Rogers followed him. I can't think of his name. It's escaping me for the moment. R.G. Lee, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. R.G. Lee said that the first time he ever heard the buzz of a rattlesnake's tail, that it got his attention greater than any symphony orchestra that he had ever heard. And he had a way of explaining things, you know, and I can understand, because I promise you, my dislike of snakes bordering a phobia, if I would hear a rattlesnake, I might just go ahead and have a heart attack and drop dead. You know, I'm thankful we haven't had any around where I live, and hope they don't come up here. I think people are finding some, usually South Carolina, it's a smaller version, it's called a timber rattler, but it has the same kind of poison, but we certainly have had copperheads. For about the first 5 years that we lived where we live now, that was a pasture before we made it a home place. And for about the first 5 years, we killed at least one copperhead in the yard every year. And I think we kind of got them beat back. We haven't seen one in a long time now. But there are many pitfalls, many dangers. And living in the world, we have the dangers from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we need wise counsel to walk carefully, so that we plan our steps in the right way. Have you ever seen a kid run away from you, a little kid run away from you, and they turn around and look at you while they're running, and then they run into something, you know? You're saying, turn around, son, turn around. And they just run smack. Benji used to be terrible about that when he was about 2 years old. He'd look at you and turn around and run backwards like he knew where he was going or something, and he'd fall or run into something. We often launch out on trips and vacations and long distances to work, and we may think we know where we're going, but we don't always know what's going to happen on the trip once we get started. We may go down a road and there's a bridge out. We may find out that there's something that's fallen off in the road. I ran over a 6-foot ladder in the middle of the road one time on I-85, and there was people on the lanes beside me, and there was no way for me to get over. I didn't see it until it came around a curve, and there it was. And so I just ran over it, you know, wham, 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 bam, underneath the car. And fortunately, it didn't tear us up anything, but I don't know what happened to the people behind me. I couldn't stop and pull it out of the road or anything with everybody driving 70 miles an hour. I know a fellow used to live here in Fort Mill. He owns a tax office. He's deceased now, Brother David Ward. And his daughter still does our taxes for us personally, and a lot of you. And they do a great job, and they're very reasonably priced. Well, David Ward was riding motorcycle a lot. He had a Harley Davidson, and he had a Honda Goldwing. And he got on one of those and took off to California, going to ride that thing all the way to California. And he got somewhere out in the Midwest, and it was at night, and he hit a 4x4 post lying across the road in front of him, and it flipped him, and he broke something, his arm or his shoulder. maybe a rib and banged his head and scraped and bruised and beat up. And they hauled his motorcycle in with a wrecker, and he got a motel and got on a plane the next morning and flew home and got his truck and his trailer and turned around and drove all the way back out there and got his motorcycle. And he got beat up bad. And he was a very experienced rider, and he was very careful, but there was just no way to prevent hitting that big post laying in the road that fell off a truck or something. Well, that could happen to anybody, and all of you have had trips where you had plans to be somewhere by a certain time or get home by a certain time, and then lo and behold, the interstate came to a dead halt. And for 2 and 3 hours, you sat there not having any idea of what was going on the road ahead of you that had caused all of the traffic to cease. The problem with something like that is they eventually get the wreck cleared and the traffic starts again and you get moving again, and by the time you get to where the wreck took place, you don't even know whatever happened. You know, you might see it in the news or you might not, but you may not ever realize what it was that held you up. Well, I'm saying that we all need prayer. We all need wisdom. We all need to make good decisions about not driving too fast, leaving room between us and the car in front of us, and checking email and such about roads and any crisis or problems that are going on in any particular areas. Right now, folks that are going anywhere near New Orleans or Galveston, Texas, or any of those kind of places, that hurricane, I understand, has bumped up, JT said, to a level 4 now with about 150 mile an hour winds, and it's going to be hitting about any time, midnight tonight, hit land. And you know that Louisiana is below sea level everywhere anyway, and when Katrina hit there, it was the dams, the levees as they call them, that turned loose and let all that Lake Pontchartrain spill over into the city and flood the entire city and left people stranded for days and days. They've already issued an edict from some of those states that if you don't evacuate now, you will not be rescued after the hurricane hits because it's going to be impossible for people to get to you. Unless you just happen to have a good neighbor who's got a boat that's willing to come dig you out of a flooded house or something, there's no way for the government to evacuate all those people after the fact. Now's the time for them to evacuate. So we do pray for them tonight. Being hitting in the night is a bad thing. You're asleep, you're laying down trying to sleep, and then something like that hits. Hurricane Hugo hit here during the night. And my two boys slept through the whole thing. And I didn't sleep a wink all night long. I was listening to trees crack in the yard and the underpinning get tore out from under my house and my storm door jerked off the front. And I was praying for all of the church people and us too and asking the Lord to protect us and all that sort of thing. And I stayed up all night praying. And we had some damage, but thank God we didn't have any injuries or trouble. And we actually benefited with the insurance paid. We got new shingles on the roof and that sort of thing. We actually benefited from the storm damage that we had, other than losing all the trees in the yard and such as that. But we went without power. There were people in York County that didn't have power for 2 full weeks. And it's tough to get a shower and cook food when you don't have any power for 2 weeks. You eat real good if you can make a fire or you got a camp stove or a grill for about 2 or 3 days when everything in the freezer thaws out and you don't have any power. But after all that's gone, you know, what do you do then? And for about 4 days in a lot of places, the roads were completely blocked with gigantic trees that fell across the roads, and we couldn't get from one place to another. And so it's kind of like this pandemic that we're all just in lockdown and having to stay at home, and you hope you got enough to continue to eat. These folks that are having to quarantine for 2 weeks, quarantine means they're not supposed to go out to eat, they're not supposed to drive and go out into the public or anything like that. They're supposed to stay at home. And so unless somebody drops them off some food or something, you know, it's It's a risky thing. So we need wisdom. We got a lot of decisions to make. We make decisions every day, and we need God's wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says, God in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Secondly, it's important that we learn from Proverbs to be teachable. I want you to look at verse 8 of chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Now we see in this context to be teachable. To be teachable, we must be a ready listener. We must be a reader of the Word of God and spiritual things. There are imperatives in this chapter that use the words hear and hearken. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, verse 8 says. In chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 10, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Chapter 7 and verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You see the other verses that we listed there that use hear and hearken, and these are commands or imperatives telling us what we are to do and what we are not to do. Now, many passages in Proverbs also explain blessings for heeding the Word of God. Back in chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Chapter 1, verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Proverbs warns not to listen to the instruction that leads astray. Over in chapter 19 and verse 27, Scripture says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So those that would teach you things that would tell you not to obey the Word of God and not to listen to spiritual truths is something to be avoided because it leads you astray. Now, many Proverbs, get this, many Proverbs are generalized statements, not meant to be taken as absolutes, that are always that way. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. Well, that's the goal of a friend, to love at all times. But we've known many people who have friends that didn't love at all times. And so that's not an absolute. Chapter 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. But our Lord and Savior answered softly to many who sought to kill him and to abuse him. There are many principles and promises in Proverbs with the assurance of life. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Chapter 4 and verse 10, Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And verse 20 of chapter 4, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health through all their flesh. And I gave you another list of verses to look up that deal with these promises for long life, for obedience to God, and for hearkening unto the wisdom that God gives. Now, these are generally true, but some have given their life for Christ and have died at young ages. We know Robert Murray McShay was a missionary to the American Indians, and he died at 30 years of age. Henry Martin was a missionary to India and Persia and died at 32. A man by the name of William Borden was just a young fella. He was an heir to the Borden milk fortune. He gave away his inheritance for the work of the Lord and devoted himself to be a missionary to China, but he died at 25 years of age in Egypt before he ever reached China. We know that some have benefited from these in many ways for longer life because of obedience to parents and obedience to the Word of God. In Proverbs 11 and verse 8, Scripture says, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Now that's a general truth that happens. God blesses righteous people that benefit from their righteousness, and the wicked who sought to do them harm are punished instead. I think of two cases immediately off the top of my head, and that's Mordecai in the book of Esther, who Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews, and the king dreamed a dream from the Lord, and he sent Haman to go get Mordecai and put him on the king's horse and ride him through the streets and praise him because he had told on some men who wanted to kill the king. And the king woke up remembering that he wanted to do a good thing for Mordecai. Well, Haman thought that the king was going to do it for him. So he said, what would you do for a man that the king wanted to honor greatly? Oh, I'd put him on the king's horse and I'd ride him through the streets. And I declare, this is how the king will treat a man that he would desires to praise. He was thinking all the time he could just see himself on that horse, you know. And it was Mordecai that he was going to lead through the street. And Haman ended up being hanged on the gallows he built in his own yard to hang the Jews upon. Daniel had a similar experience where he prayed three times every day with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and prayed for his people, and prayed for their restoration from captivity. And Daniel prayed. The king said, no one can ask an edict of any god except the king. And then they went and told the king that Daniel had prayed without praying to the king. And they put Daniel in the lion's den. The king was sorry about it. He didn't want to do that, but he had to follow his word. And he put Daniel in the lion's den, and God shut the lion's mouth. The next morning, the king came down and said, oh, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? And Daniel stepped forth and said, my God was able to deliver me. He shut the mouths of the lion. And so the king praised and issued a decree for Daniel and his God and threw his enemies into the lion's den. And the lions were pretty hungry after God shut their mouths, so they ate those fellows up fast on. So we can learn and gain wisdom and apply the truth of God's word in Proverbs to our daily life. Zeno, a Greek philosopher who lived 300 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, wrote, the reason we have two ears and only one mouth is that we may listen the more and talk the less. Now, this is especially true when it comes to listening to God's word. We need to be ready listeners to the word of God. I'm not talking about just listening to the preacher preach the sermon. I'm talking about listening with an open heart and an open ear to let God speak to you from His Word so that we put it in application to our lives. In verse 8 through 19, we see the voice of instruction from the father and a mother. This goes back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 9, where Moses taught that we're to take the Word of God and teach it to our children and talk about it when we're walking along the way, and we're to write it and put it on our doorposts, and we're to make sure the Word of God is before their eyes and they learn its truths. Therefore, the Hebrew people usually sought to obey the teachings of Moses and the laws of God. In verse 15 through 19, the father and mother give advice to avoid bad influence and to avoid temptation. How many we sadly see who don't listen to their parents, don't listen to their Sunday school teacher, don't listen to the pastor of the church and the leaders of the ministry, and they go astray and they decide they're going to live any way they please and nobody's going to tell them any different. And we see them run headlong into serious trouble because of their rejection of truth and unwillingness to hearken unto the voice of their mother and their father. They don't avoid the trap that Satan has laid for them. Our older teens in high school and college are going to face temptations as they go back to school, and most of them will not have experienced some of the things they will hear about and be told about and be encouraged to do, influenced by peers instead of influenced by their parents. And they can lead to tragedy in verse 11 through 14. In verse 20 through 33, we have God's call. God's call. Proverbs 1 and verse 20 through 33. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So those who are not listening are classified as simple ones, those that are easily deceived. They are classified as scorners, those who reject and mock God's truth. And they're classified as fools. A fool in the Bible is not one who is mentally incompetent. A fool comes from the Hebrew word Nabal. Nabal means a man who's morally corrupt. He's not mentally incapacitated, he's morally corrupt. He chooses to live as he lived, just as the man Nabal, who was wicked, who despised David, and that was his very name. They live for the pleasure of the moment. They have no consideration of the consequences of their actions. Wisdom brings an indictment against them. Chapter 1, verse 22, the Lord questions, how long will you reject my reproof? And then he gives an invitation. There's an opportunity for them to come to their senses, to repent, to get forgiveness from God, like the prodigal who came to himself and went home to ask his father to just treat him like a hired servant and said, I'm not worthy to be thy son any longer. But the foolish who continue to reject, verse 24 and 25, the day will come when they will cry out, but God will not hear. He will not listen to their cries for help. The insincere hopes will not be rewarded. They will reap as they sow, chapter 1, verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. When people seek God just to get out of their trouble, God knows their insincerity, and He doesn't yield Himself to listen to that. God knows when we're sorry, and He knows if we are sorry sincerely. He knows when we're ready to repent. He knows when the righteous is our character and when it's a charade. When we have desire to learn reading the Word of God, or we read just as a duty to get it done. God knows when we're seeking to do His will and not just do a little to appease our desire. He knows when we're dedicated, and He knows when we're deceiving. God has promised an opportunity for those who sincerely repent and call on the Lord. But God will not play games with people. There'll come a day when it will be too late. I say to you that are watching, it's not too late tonight. Hearken unto the Lord. Listen to God's wisdom. He's provided salvation and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Now is accepted time. Call upon Him and be saved, and turn away from your sin, and He will forgive you and give you of His Spirit and give you insight into His Word to learn His wisdom. Father, bless your people and bless those watching, and meet the prayer request needs we prayed for tonight. And help us, Father. We're dependent upon you totally. We ask for your intervention. We ask for your help. We offer you our praise and our thanks and our adoration. In Jesus' name, amen.